Retro Biosciences to reshape aging research with $1.8 billion valuation. And number 10,022, takeaways by Plaquemine AI Hyde, and number 9,650, Retro Biosciences, backed by Sam Altman, achieved a $1.8 billion valuation in its latest fundraising round, making it one of the highest valued private longevity companies globally. The company is founded on the thesis that human health span can be extended by 10 years through in vivo gene therapies, cell replacement therapies, and approaches to restore younger cell function in aging tissues. Retro Biosciences and hashtag X27. First clinical trial is currently enrolling patients with Alzheimer and hashtag X27S disease to test an oral compound designed to enhance the body and hashtag X27S ability to clear protein aggregates. Retro Biosciences, the Sam Altman-backed longevity startup chasing one of medicine's most audacious targets, closed its latest fundraising round at a $1.8 billion valuation, making it one of the highest-valued private longevity companies in the world at a moment when institutional capital is growing selective and the U.S. biotech funding environment faces structural headwinds from NIH budget cuts and Medicaid pressure. The company, founded on the thesis that human health span can be extended by 10 years, is deploying capital across in vivo gene therapies, cell replacement therapies, and additional approaches designed to restore younger, healthier cell function in aging tissues. Its first clinical trial is currently enrolling patients with Alzheimer's disease, testing an oral compound designed to enhance the body's ability to clear protein aggregates. CEO Joe Betz-Lacroix, speaking at Stats Breakthrough Summit West in San Francisco this week, said the trial is progressing well, with no dose-limiting toxicities observed to date, and that the company expects to release trial data around August 2026. "The trial is going super good," Betz-Lacroix told the audience at Stats Breakthrough Summit West, noting the absence of dose-limiting toxicities as a positive early signal. Investors who dismiss longevity as fringe science should reckon with what $1.8 billion in private market pricing signals, that institutional capital is beginning to treat biological aging not as a philosophical ambition but as a druggable category with commercial return potential. The retro round lands as public biotech markets remain volatile, NIH funding faces political turbulence in Washington, and rural healthcare infrastructure continues to deteriorate, creating a bifurcated landscape where premium science commands premium valuations while the rest of the system strains under fiscal pressure. The $1.8 billion question, what longevity science now costs the valuation Retro has achieved, is not a science fair prize. It is a market pricing event that demands a private equity lens. Terms of the latest round were not fully disclosed by Stat News, so the precise equity stake, sold and implied post-money dilution are not available. What is known, the company has raised enough capital to fund its first clinical trial in Alzheimer's disease and is operating across multiple technology platforms simultaneously. That breadth of platform investment, running gene therapy, cell replacement therapy, and additional modalities in parallel, is capital intensive by design. The $1.8 billion figure anchors Retro firmly in the upper tier of private longevity and aging biology companies globally. For context, longevity as an investable category has historically struggled to attract institutional capital at scale, with most prior entrants funded through family offices and high-net-worth individuals rather than institutional venture or growth equity. The presence of Sam Altman, whose profile draws cross-sector attention, has materially altered the fundraising dynamics for this company. Our view, the valuation is best understood as a pipeline option on a category, not a single-asset biotech bet. Retro's multi-platform approach reduces single-program binary risk but increases burn rate. Institutional investors are effectively purchasing exposure to whichever modality within the portfolio proves clinically viable first. August data readout, the next valuation inflection point, the Alzheimer's protein aggregate clearance trial is the most near-term catalyst Retro has disclosed. Betz-Lacroix indicated at Stats Breakthrough Summit West that data from this trial is expected around August 2026. The significance of this timeline for investors is straightforward. A safety and tolerability readout with no dose-limiting toxicities, combined with any signal of biological activity and protein clearance, would validate the oral pill mechanism and give Retro a clinical proof-of-concept narrative heading into what would logically be a series extension or pre-initial public offering round. A clean dataset in August positions the company for a capital market event before year-end 2026. The Alzheimer's market context amplifies the stakes. Alzheimer's represents one of the largest unmet needs in all of medicine, and the regulatory path for novel mechanisms has become more defined following the approvals of amyloid-targeting therapies in recent years. Retro's approach, clearing protein aggregates via enhanced cellular autophagy rather than targeting amyloid directly with an antibody, represents a mechanistically distinct path. If the August data shows any biological signal, the company's approach gains differentiation from the existing approved agents. Our view, August 2026 is a binary moment. Clean data drives the next valuation step up and broadens the institutional investor base. A safety signal, even a manageable one, compresses the timeline to a more traditional Phase 2 financing structure and likely invites partnership conversations with large pharma. NIH disruption creates a structural tail risk for longevity science. Retro's raise does not exist in a vacuum. The U.S. biotech ecosystem is absorbing a significant institutional shock from NIH funding uncertainty. NIH Director Jay Bhattacharya testified before a Senate Appropriations Subcommittee on May 21, 2026, facing questions about staff turnover, leadership vacancies at the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, and the Trump administration's fiscal year 2027 budget request for the agency. Senator Tammy Baldwin noted during the hearing that the acting director of NIAID was scheduled to appear but had stepped down from his role, and that other top NIAID leaders had reportedly been reassigned or forced out. That level of institutional instability at the NIH, the primary funder of basic biological research in the United States, creates a structural drag on early-stage science that flows into the private venture pipeline over a multi-year lag. Key risk: NIH budget and staffing disruption reduces the public sector basic science that private biotech companies, including longevity startups, rely on for foundational discoveries. This is a tail risk for the category, not a near-term earnings event. For Retro specifically, the risk is indirect. The company has raised private capital and is not NIH-dependent for its current clinical program. But the ecosystem-level damage from NIH disruption affects the talent pipeline, the academic collaboration networks, and the basic research in aging biology that validates Retro's underlying scientific thesis. Longevity biology is a field where the translation from academic discovery to clinical application remains narrow. Defunding or destabilizing that academic base tightens that pipeline. Healthcare capital bifurcation. Where the money goes and where it doesn't. The contrast between Retro's $1.8 billion valuation and the state of frontline U.S. healthcare infrastructure is stark and institutionally relevant. In North Carolina's Martin County, a hospital serving roughly 22,000 people closed in August 2023. The county lacks paramedics on its ambulances, and the nearest emergency rooms can be 20 or more miles away. A $50 billion rural health fund included in the Republican-crafted One Big Beautiful Bill Act has been positioned as a solution. But as of May 2026, funds have not been distributed. In Arcata, California, Mad River Community Hospital is entering a revenue cycle partnership with Ovation Healthcare, deploying approximately 30 employees through an insourcing arrangement to offset anticipated Medicaid cuts. The hospital's COO, Matt Anderson, said directly, "Rural healthcare is under attack." These are not background details. They are the demand-side context for longevity investment. Retro is pursuing science that extends healthy human years. The infrastructure gap means that for a large portion of the U.S. population, access to basic emergency care, let alone advanced longevity therapies, remains structurally out of reach. Institutional capital flowing into premium longevity science at $1.8 billion valuations is rational. The question of whether that capital generates returns that are accessible to the population bearing the greatest health burden is a separate, and unresolved, matter. Investment positioning: how private equity and institutional capital should frame this. Table 1. Retro Biosciences key investment parameters as of May 2026. Financial terms of the latest round were not fully disclosed. For institutional investors, the entry calculus is a function of two variables, the August data readout and the path to liquidity. Retro is a private company, and no initial public offering timeline has been disclosed. The $1.8 billion valuation implies that any public market exit will require either a significant clinical milestone, likely Phase 2 proof of concept, or a strategic acquisition by a large pharmaceutical company seeking longevity pipeline exposure. The strategic acquirer thesis is credible. Large pharma companies have demonstrated willingness to pay significant premiums for differentiated aging biology platforms. The longevity category is early enough that a validated platform with multiple modalities commands a scarcity premium in any mergers and acquisitions scenario. The Plaquemine view: the market is reading Retro's $1.8 billion valuation as a longevity story. Plaquemine reads it as a platform optionality play arriving at the precise moment when the public funding infrastructure for biomedical research is being deliberately weakened. Here is the second-order thesis: NIH disruption does not just create near-term risk for biotech. It creates medium-term competitive advantage for well-capitalized private companies that can internalize the research function. Retro, with $1.8 billion in private capital behind it, can fund its own discovery biology at a scale that smaller competitors cannot match. If the NIH pipeline of aging biology science narrows over the next 2 to 3 years, Retro's internally generated data becomes proportionally more valuable, both as a clinical asset and as an acquisition target. The August 2026 data readout is not just a trial milestone. It is a test of whether Retro can generate institutional-grade clinical evidence without relying on the public research infrastructure that is currently being dismantled in Washington. If the Alzheimer's data is clean, Retro becomes the proof point that private longevity science can operate independently of the NIH ecosystem. There is also a macro positioning argument here. The same political environment that is cutting NIH funding and threatening Medicaid reimbursements for rural hospitals is, through the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, allocating $50 billion to rural health, with distribution mechanisms still unclear. Capital that seeks returns in healthcare will increasingly migrate toward premium science with private funding bases rather than infrastructure plays dependent on federal transfer payments. Retro sits squarely in the former category. The risk plaquemium flags, Retro's multi-platform burn rate is substantial, and the company remains pre-revenue. The $1.8 billion valuation is a forward pricing event built on a single early-stage trial and a compelling scientific narrative. If August data disappoints, the next round occurs at a materially different valuation and with a smaller universe of willing institutional investors. The longevity category has not yet produced a large-scale commercial success, and first-mover valuations in unproven categories have a history of compression. The bottom line, Retro Biosciences at $1.8 billion is the clearest signal yet that institutional capital views biological aging as a fundable category, not a moonshot. The August 2026 clinical readout is the single most important near-term event in longevity biotech this year. Clean safety data combined with any biological activity signal positions the company for a pre-initial public offering or strategic partnership event before year-end. The structural context matters: NIH disruption, Medicaid pressure on rural hospitals, and the absence of distributed rural health funding create a two-speed healthcare economy where premium science attracts premium capital and the access question goes unanswered. Plaquemium's forward-looking claim is direct. If Retro's August data holds, expect a large pharma strategic interest inquiry within 12 months. The acquirer most likely comes from the cohort of pharmaceutical companies that have announced longevity or healthy aging as a pipeline priority and lack internal capability. That is where the deal flow goes next.